From donkey late to...
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you all. I'm especially pleased. Last month was really, really tough. John Heising saved our back, and so we had a quorum. But it's good to see you all here today. We may have our only last board member, Bob Page or Mr. Silva, to be here today. There's going to be some changes down the road. Bob has been appointed the Registrar of Voters. However, he's very important to us, to IUA, and everything that we do. So Bob's been great. I'm hoping he's not leaving us, but if he is, it's party time. Not that he's leaving, it's because of what he represents. With that, a little disappointment as we start the meeting. Thank you for all coming. We're going immediately into closed session. No consent calendar, no nothing. Peter, Mr. Harima, Wilderness, and members of the audience, I appreciate your patience and understanding that we needed to go into closed session. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 2:33. And the first thing we're going to take up is the consent calendar. You've all had...
I have reportable action.
Yes. You have one?
I need a report.
I'll go. Okay, great.
Thank you, Chair Feenstra. The ag pool closed session ended at 2:30 p.m. with the following reportable actions. Regarding business item A, the motion by Vice Chair Pearson, a second by Member DeBoom, the ag pool directs council to prepare a joinder to the Watermaster motion to amend paragraph 36. Regarding business item B, with a motion by Vice Chair Pearson and a second by Member LaBoucherie, the ag pool approves the amendment to the pooling plan and directs council to prepare the necessary filings for the court. And I will also email this now to Watermaster staff for their records. Thank you.
Peter, before we move on, do you have any questions of the reportable action, or you want to take that up after we finish consent?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I have no questions.
I like that. You had a chance to review your consent calendar and all the items. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Carol Boyd and Ron Petersma. One more time. Any questions of the consent calendar? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to point out for the pool's benefit something I pointed out to the two pools that met earlier today, that in our standard language for this item, it's a routine application for recharge, and we have routine language that goes with it. However, we have added language now because of the current volume of water in storage, and you can find that on page 58 of the packet. It's in the staff report. And the new language reads, it should be noted that the volume of water in storage in Chino Basin is quickly approaching the maximum that has been evaluated under CEQA. As such, it is possible that at the time water is available for the contemplated recharge, Watermaster may not approve a storage agreement. The applicant is advised to confirm with Watermaster in advance of any recharge. We added that in as a fair warning to appropriators who have the occasion to store water in the basin. And I will give you a little more information about that during my report under storage management plan update.
Well done, Peter.
Thank you,
well
sir.
Well done. With that said, any questions of Peter before we move on? Okay, well, let's move on to business item C, overlying agricultural pool rules and regulations amendment. We have you're asking for pool consideration. Peter, do you have anything to report?
No, sir. This is an item that was brought to us to add to your agenda from your general counsel.
Do I have a motion by a member of the board of the pool?
I move to approve.
Is there a support?
Support.
Nathan DeBoom, Ron LaBoucherie. Any questions or comments?
Please comment.
I'd like to thank you, Chair Feenstra. I'd like to comment for the record that the rules and regulations need to be consistent with the judgment. So the assumption by the pool is that these rules and regulations will follow the requisite judgment amendment that's going to be filed by the Water Master Council. Thank you.
Understood, Peter?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. We have a motion to approve for the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All the same sign, carried unanimous. Item D, rules and regulations update.
Mr. Chairman, this item pertains to the Water Master rules and regulations. And what is before you is a red line and a clean version of the rules and regulations, what we're calling the 2019 update. These are going to be presented to advisory committee for approval next week. This is a revision that we started back in 2017, and we've amended, at that time, we amended the rules and regs to reflect any court orders that affected the rules and regulations since the rules and regs came about in 2001. We put a pause on the process because there was a safe yield appeal ongoing at the time. And so we continued the process now that we have a court order in March of this year, and we have amended the rules and regulations to incorporate that court order as well. So we are presenting to the advisory committee for approval next week a revised version of the 2001 rules and regulations.
Is your earlier meeting advisory their position?
So the other two pools, I'm assuming you mean, Mr. Chairman, the other two pools met and considered the item. As you know, the appropriative pool members vote individually at advisory committee, so the pool as a whole did not take a position. And it is left for us to infer that some parties will support and some parties prefer to see their views, which are leaning more toward a broad rewriting of the entire rules and regs instead. We believe that effort is worthwhile in the future. That effort will take a long time and will leave us without updated rules and regulations now. So we are aware that some parties prefer that. We believe that they will not support that next week.
What advice and assistance can we provide staff?
Just the consideration of your pool, any advice to advisory committee and your representatives to the committee.
I'm sure you realize we have some very strong thoughts on
it. I'm sure.
Brad?
I will tell you that the non-agricultural pool as well, Mr. Chairman, considered this item, and they have asked for their attorney to communicate some further comments to our general counsel.
I look forward to hearing from Mr. Aram.
I think Peter's done a great job of summarizing where we are. This will be presented to the advisory committee. We're seeking advisory committee approval and then subsequently board approval. Just one note, and you may have heard this when you were here this morning, but in going back and in looking at the rules and regs that were as they were adopted and proposed back in 2001, we pulled the motion to the court for the approval of that 2001 version. And what's, I think, interesting to glean from that is that the concern at the time that the 2001 version was drafted was that there were existing rules and regulations, a couple different sets. There had been Water Master resolutions and court orders that modified the way things were done, and they weren't all incorporated into one place. And so if an outsider was coming into the basin or someone coming in for the first time, they couldn't pull that document off the shelf and have a single document that had incorporated all of those changes. And so it's very similar to what we're trying to do now, which is incorporate the changes that have been ordered or agreed to over the last 18 years so that we have a document that is up to date.
Before I ask for Tracy's comments, just a quick comment, Mr. Ehrman. I got the express feeling there are those that want to be open to reconsideration or keep considerations open. I don't know, until Helfer's is over. So that concerns me. Tracy, do you have any comments to bring?
They're reflected in the staff report, the Ag Pool's discussion and report or advice to the advisory committee from June 12th of this year. And I just would like to note that among those is the pool requesting a more regular update of the rules and regulations. And because I was lucky enough to be in the appropriative pool meeting where the discussion surrounded the fact that there might need to be some further updates coming, it might be a unique moment in time when the ag pool and the appropriative pool actually agree that there should be more frequent amendments, including this one now, and then potentially one early next year or mid-next year. So thank you.
I don't think we're going to take action. I think you know how we feel, Jeff. Pearson?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Peter if I can get a current advisory committee volume vote tally, make sure that my numbers that I understand are correct, and who is minor one and who's representing minor two?
I believe the tally is on our website.
You want it at a later time, Mr. Pearson? Or
let's just deal with it now. I know.
I'll take it at any time.
Can you pull up our website real quick? Go to advisory committee. And while you're doing that, I will tell you that the question was about the miners.
Minor one and minor two.
San Antonio Water Company, Monta Vista Irrigation Company.
Seeing no hands up, Red, thank you very much for your comment.
1 second, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I'm ready.
If you go to our website, Mr. Pearson,
okay.
You go under advisory, you'll find the volume vote for advisory committee in 2019.
Anna?
Yes.
A special favor. We've heard that on TV for the last couple of days. Could you send our chairman of the board a copy of that for his pre-K?
Sure.
Thank you. Jeff, you're going to get a copy.
Mine is the current copy.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Anna, you don't have to do it. I'm trusting that we have no old business.
No, sir.
Hearing that and from anyone, good, let's move on. Legal report, OPMP, status report.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the pool committee. Following the consideration and the board's action in September approving the OBMP semi-annual status update or status report, that document was filed last Wednesday with the court with a request that the court receive and file it. That request has been set for hearing December 13, 1:30 p.m. You may recall that's also the time that we have set for a hearing on the OBMP update status report that we filed earlier this year. So right now we have those two things pending. That's probably also a convenient date for judgment amendments, including pooling plan amendments, should those be filed in the near future. So just keep that hearing date in mind as well.
Brad, I've always wondered, because I haven't get to see you in court very often over the years, when you file with the courts, are you there in person? Do you make comment?
The actual filing, we have a service that does. When we have the hearings, most of the time I'm there in person. Occasionally I'll appear by phone on an uncontested matter.
How do you know that it's accepted by the judge or the court?
We have a written order.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Herma. Let's go to the engineer report.
Good afternoon. I have three items. The first is the activities of the ground level monitoring committee. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago here at Watermaster where we discussed the monitoring program in the northwestern portion of Management Zone 1, where Watermaster is developing a subsidence management plan. But the meat of the meeting was dedicated to reviewing the draft annual report of the ground level monitoring committee. We're in a review period right now, and we're accepting comments on the draft report by October 18th, and then we will finalize the report by the end of this month, and it'll be brought through the Watermaster meetings in the month of November. As a reminder, we are working on the 2020 Safe Field Reset. We've been recalibrating the groundwater flow model that's going to be used to estimate the net recharge and the safe yield of the basin in a prospective manner from using the period 2020 to 2030. We expect to be complete with the recalibration by the end of this month. And on December 9th, we're going to have a meeting at our offices in Lake Forest. It's going to be a colleague peer review meeting where we will be discussing the calibration results, and we'll be reviewing the planning scenario that will be used to estimate the net recharge for the period 2020 to 2030 at that meeting. So that's December 9th. just as a reminder, the safe fuel reset is due to the court by June 30th of 2020.
And if I can jump in real briefly on the engineer's report, we have been in touch with the court because the order from 2017 says that the court needs to be in a place to approve that 2020 reset safe yield by June 30 of next year. So we did reach out to the court to ensure that he would have some time on his schedule for us to bring that motion. And as of right now, they're holding June 26th. For a potential hearing on the safe field reset.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad. And last on my list are some miscellaneous requests for Watermaster data and information that we wanted to bring to your attention, particularly the agricultural pool for this first one. The regional board has requested groundwater quality data from private wells that are within and overlying the South Archibald TCE plume that's south of the Ontario Airport. And what they first did was they requested this information from the City of Ontario, because the City of Ontario has a cleanup and abatement order where they're required to go out and sample for TCE at a number of these private wells. And the regional board was requesting that Ontario also sample and analyze for perchlorate, hexavalent chromium, TCP, and 1,4-dioxane. And the reason why they were requesting this information is because CDA and IUA have a Prop 1 groundwater extraction well project that they received a grant for to construct the last CDA well in the center of this plume to help clean it up. And so they want this information as background information, and they want it on an ongoing basis so they can it can help them evaluate the effectiveness of this well at cleaning up that plume. It is not a requirement in the cleanup and abatement order for City of Ontario to perform this sampling. So the regional board asked Watermaster, would you be able to do this sampling and provide us with this data? Watermaster does not release private well data from the agricultural pool without agricultural pool approval. So we're bringing this to your attention that the regional board is requesting this from the Watermaster, and it's going to require your approval in order for us to release historical data and any new data that Watermaster might go out and collect. So with your approval, Watermaster would be able to provide the regional board with about 10 years worth of data that has been collected in that area. And then on a go-forward basis, Watermaster can modify its groundwater sampling and analysis program to help the regional board in their effort to track this cleanup.
Jeff Pearson.
Andy, why isn't Ontario required to continue with their testing?
Well, they are required, pursuant to their cleanup and abatement order, to continue their monitoring program, but it's only required for TCE, not these other four chemicals that the regional board is requesting.
Why? Why was it just a TCE?
You know, it's a TCE plume. Yeah. Now, there are these other constituents that aren't necessarily associated with the plume, but they're in the area. And so the regional board...
They're there.
They're there, and the regional board is asking for information to understand it better and then track these constituents along with the TCE to evaluate the effectiveness of this well at cleaning it up.
In the water sampling that took place prior to the arrangement between the regional board and Ontario... Weren't
by Watermaster
water samples tested for all constituents?
The sampling program that's being performed by Watermaster?
Not Watermaster, by whatever was done by Ontario to satisfy the issue of the TCE plume. Were there other constituents found at that time? I don't know if you know.
I don't know the whole history of Ontario's sampling and analysis program. I'm more familiar with what Watermaster has done in the area. And Watermaster has done a lot of sampling for most of these chemicals, with the exception of 1,4-dioxane. That's a relatively new one. But Watermaster does have quite a bit of data on all sorts of constituents, including hexchrome, perchlorate, and TCP in this area.
You know that the agricultural pool represents but does not own any property, nor does it own the wells, and that historically we have not agreed to site-specific overlying land locations. Yep. And that has been a posture and a position of the ag pool historically. And I don't know if we will or intend to deviate from that.
You'd have to give us very strong reasons. It's a long-running position. Tracy, do you have any comment? Board members, pool members.
I'd like to thank Jeff for his comments looking out for all the innocent people in this deal.
I think it'd only be right to get permission from the landowners. I mean, I don't know if the ag pool has the authority.
That's the way it's written, Ron.
I don't know if the ag pool would have the authority, even if they chose to do so.
Any questions, then? And Peter?
No, sir.
Brad? You guys are easy today. Let's move on.
Okay, well, I've got one last...
Can't wait, yes.
One last...
Comment on
yes. The Orange County Water District has issued a draft feasibility report and a draft EIR and environmental impact statement for a project that they call the Ecosystem Restoration and Water Conservation Study in the Prado Basin. And what their project is it's in coordination with the Army Corps of Engineers to expand their water conservation pool to the 505 elevation foot line during the winter months. And the reason why they want to do that is they want to store more stormwater behind the dam during wintertime periods when we have storms, so they can slowly release it downstream and recharge that stormwater in their groundwater basin in Orange County. Also part of this project is some ecosystem restoration work, removing non-native species, planting native species, activities like that. Watermaster reviewed their EIR, and we concluded that their project could affect groundwater levels in the area, and it could affect, obviously, the vegetation and the modifications that they do to the vegetation in the area. And as you are likely aware, Watermaster cares about water levels because of the requirement to maintain hydraulic control. Watermaster cares about the vegetation because we're running a whole monitoring program down in Prado Basin called the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Program, where we're trying to ensure, us and IUA are trying to ensure that our Piece 2 activities don't result in adverse impacts to the vegetation. So what Watermaster's comment back to OCWD was, you know, we want you to be able to increase the monitoring in the area such that you can ascertain your impacts from our potential impacts, if any. So OCWD has been calling us, and we've been going back and forth communicating and collaborating.
That's the acronym, again.
Orange County Water District.
I know that. I wanted
them. Yeah. On appropriate monitoring, ways to maybe collaborate and do the monitoring efficiently between the two agencies. So that's the process that we're in right now. I'm likely going to have more information for you in future meetings as to the outcome.
Are we in a direct conflict with their operation and what we're trying to monitor? Do we know that? I mean, in your review of their operational program?
Well, we've asked them for some more information, some maps that better explain what their project is and where they anticipate to see groundwater level impacts and where they're going to be doing their modifications to the vegetation.
They're doing an EIR?
Yes.
And the EIR is
draft right now.
Is being drafted.
It is draft right now. We reviewed it and we're asking them for more information and there's a little back and forth going on right now.
Does that EIR draft identify the program that we're using, what we're involved in right now? I mean, is it an item within their EIR noting that there could be a potential conflict, there could be by altering the vegetation, could do something to our
program?
Our program.
I don't think it was specifically called out as such in the EIR, but we've made that comment to them.
Okay.
Yeah, so they have not finalized their EIR yet. They're working with us so that we're satisfied with their EIR.
I mean, we're spending a lot of money, and I would hate to have their efforts conflict with what we're doing and show that there's a questionable impact on the basin.
Yeah.
Just a quick, Ron Peterson.
Yeah, just for clarification, you said 505?
505.
505 elevation line is the maximum storage that they can have behind the dam for water conservation purposes.
But wasn't there a requirement for Orange County to acquire land up to the 560?
Correct. Yes, and that's for flood control. So
this would be just constant water level.
They could hold water at 505 so they can slowly release it.
I understand they don't do that. That was my argument with Andy and our brilliant engineers from Orange County, and I live in the city of Orange, and I'm part of the Orange County Water District, so on and so forth. We're all smarter than Ron, especially me. I can see the Santa Ana River from one side of my home, okay? And when they release water, a lot of it ends up in the Pacific Ocean. That makes no sense when we've spent tens of millions, if not $100 million, on the Santa Ana River getting it to percolate. And in 30 years, they've got a lot of water. So, but then Andy throws the rules and regulation comment at me. And the guys in Orange County say, well, Petra, we release it because the spillway isn't done. Well, the spillway won't be at about 550.
The spillway, when it's raised, will be at the 566 line.
It will be that
so,
high.
Yeah, once it gets to 566, then it would spill. Yeah.
My point is...
The distinction would be that they have the right to store up to 505 and the right to flood... Or not the right to flood.
Yeah.
Anticipation that it would flood up to 566.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the 100-year storm or 500-year storm would take it to spillway level.
Yeah. It could. Yeah.
I just would ask you, Andy, just because you're such a young man and you're going to be around.
Hey, I'm young.
Another 20 years. Why don't you share with Orange County that we'd like to keep as much of that water going back into the basin as we can?
Yeah, no, they've made quite a bit of investment to do exactly what you're asking
just
for.
Just don't flood my duck blinds.
Yeah.
What you don't know, some of you don't know, we have a gorgeous wetland in the Prado Basin, and it is amazing. So when he talks about habitat and everything else, they got rid of all the fishermen, which I think was me. But anyway, yes, Carol.
Andy, has the draft EIR identified negative impacts on Chino?
It has identified that that they expect to have groundwater level impacts, but they But they are saying that they don't expect to have lower groundwater levels, that they expect to temporarily have higher groundwater levels. So that's, they're saying, well, we're not going to make water levels lower in your basin, but they could go higher at least temporarily when we have a conservation pool behind the dam for an extended period.
And do you agree with that assessment?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, many people have said to me, Andy, Peter, I'm not taking away from your time, but
no, sir.
Just real quick, everybody says, why all those trees in the basin is taken away from the volume of water that could be in the Prado Dam? Is that dam ever of the thinking that it needs to be clean? In other words,
you mean
removing the
vegetation? Well, part of, like I said earlier, part of this program is to remove non-native species like Arundodorax that utilizes a lot of water. Yeah.
Okay, we've learned a lot. Any questions of Andy? Yes, Carol.
I just want to make sure I understand the vegetation and mitigation measures. I'm not very clear on it.
Okay. Part of it is to remove non-native species like Arundodorax. And part of it is to plant native species. And then they have, even along the northern reach of Chino Creek, they're going to have a little diversion channel where they'll be diverting some of the water out of Chino Creek and creating new habitat in those areas. So,
are they consulting with your firm in these mitigation measures?
They are.
Okay,
yes.
So it's mitigation measures that are decided upon are in conjunction basically with Water Master.
Yes, and mostly what we're talking about is monitoring. Yeah.
We don't have time today, but someday I'm going to get my brain working properly so you could tell me how the dam affects the... Come on, where we had fishers.
The duck ponds?
No. Over at the prison we had.
Subsidence.
How the dams affect the subsidence?
Today.
Okay.
Because you said it, you know, we worry about the dam because it has some effect on subsidence.
Yeah, I don't think subsidence is a big issue here.
Yeah. Then we won't talk about it. Joe, our money's in a vault somewhere and we're safe.
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything to report today?
No, sir.
I heard your report at the last board meeting. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Peter, comment before you start. Members of the pool, Jeff Pearson and Peter Cavunis, got together some time back and put their heads and their genius together and said every month, if possible, when we're not dark, we will have a chairman's meeting. And Peter, many times I oppose meet to meet and forget what you met about. Those are probably the most powerful meetings that I've been in, other than peace agreements, at my time in the Water Master, and that's more than you are old. Peter, those are really effective, and I just want to single you and Jeff out for doing that and keep it up. Secondly, you did an outstanding job today. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as the meetings go, I try to support our fearless leader, Mr. Pearson, and I think he's doing an amazing job. So it's great to do.
Okay, let's go with item A status, OBMP.
OBMP update, we're having our listening session next week. We're looking forward to having everybody there.
Perfect report. Stage of storage. I'm running out of time. Storage. I'm going to take the important items, Tracy. Report on storage management. We have some comments on this. Go, Peter.
Storage management, I will share with your pool, although by the nature of the rights of your pool members, the ag pool does not get to store carryover water. But storage and the ability of Water Master to issue storage agreements is something that is and should be of interest to your pool just the same. There is a cap of 500,000 acre feet in the OBMP implementation plan. That's called the safe storage capacity, beyond which storage is supposed to mitigate its impacts. By virtue of the addendum to the EIR that was approved by the IUA Board of Directors, I think it was a year ago, January, that threshold has been moved to 600,000 acre feet until June 30 of 2021. So the parties have the ability to store without any mitigation until 600,000 acre feet until June 30 of 2021. Beyond 600,000 acre feet, Watermaster cannot issue storage agreements. As of June 30 of this year, we are at 550,000, and we are expecting an increase of about 40,000 in the fiscal year that we're in. So by June 30 of 2020, we're going to be at between 590 and 595. So very close to the 600,000 acre foot cap, at which point Watermaster will be unable to issue storage agreements, and parties that put water in the basin will be forfeiting the water. So we've made that notice. We provided that notice to the other two pools today. We're letting your pool know again. For us, that is the real driver for driving the OBMP update at a certain pace and driving a storage management plan at the same pace, trying to finish every effort by January, get the CEQA done, go to court, get things approved this coming June, so we're all squared away for the next year that begins after that and not have to tell people that they've lost water that they already have in storage.
If that's understood, I do have a comment, Robert. Bob?
Yeah, just, Peter, I'm assuming when you say approved agreement, that would apply as well to excess carryover water?
Yes, any and all storage that requires. So a storage that doesn't require an agreement is carryover. That's it. Everything else requires an agreement. So excess carryover or recycled water that is put in or supplemental that is brought and stored in the basin, we will not be able to issue an agreement. And actually, because of the accrual of carryover each and every year, if we do nothing else, the parties will accrue beyond 600,000 acre feet, at which point we'll have to tell them they're going to have to lose some of the water from their other accounts.
So essentially then, in practice, once if that limit's hit, then an appropriate pool member or a non-ag pool member would essentially have to use their annual allotment.
If they can,
or lose it.
Yeah, they would have to pump it out of the basin, take it out of storage. Our hope is to get a storage management plan in place, CEQA done, court ordered, so we never have to get there.
Bob, this is why the meeting was so interesting with the chairman's meeting. When Peter gave that report, as a matter of fact, it was interesting. The room got very, very quiet. So I'll add a little zest to it. When my wife gives me that certain look, Peter, and says, let's make a plan, she holds me to it. We're very concerned that there are those that don't want the plan. And I think you did a fine job. However, we want to make it clear to you that there will be a plan, and there will be a plan in play.
Understood.
Any comment? Bob Pei.
What did the non-ag pool say in response to this report?
Well, they're reasonably concerned because some of their water would be at risk as well. We believe there is a way to share any excess, and if in the undesired event that we get to a place where parties are losing water, there would be some impact to the non-agricultural pool as well.
And I was asking because I know a few years ago when we were going through the safe reset process, they made a point of publicly saying they wanted that storage management plan done with like 2 years or something like that. But I'm assuming that's still the position.
That is still their position.
And Jeff Pearson.
Yeah, Peter, just for clarification, out of the 600,000 acre foot cap, our obligation to MWD is by contract 100,000 acre feet. And do you see MWD being able to get up to their storage limit by June of 2021?
Yes, I do. They are at just about 50,000 as of June 30 of this year. They're putting in 25,000 in the fiscal year that we're in. So they will be at 75,000. So depending on how wet the winter is, they might have another 25,000, and by contract, we have to let them put it in.
Okay.
Peter, do you have anything else to present?
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like it. We can go home. Brad?
Nope.
Members of the poll, again, look around the room. Very, very proud and pleased to have this turnout at a time that we're making really serious decisions, Peter. And it's with the knowledge that we know you're getting a lot of pressure. We're here to have your back. You have ours.
Yes, sir.
With that, I think we stand adjourned. Any other business?
Yeah, I'll make one more comment.
Please.
The conclusion of the OBMP and the storage management plan integrated into the OBMP, the implementation plan, and full agreement by all the pools are very, very important. We have a contest that is coming up in a very short period of time, and I don't believe that we will extend the contest time frame unless we have strong assurances that the pools are in favor of the storage management plan. So, Peter, I do thank you for your assertive position in trying to move this thing forward. And for us as the ag pool, we want to make it very clear that it is extremely important that the entire family is aboard with this movement. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a team, or do we have a team? Bob Pay.
Will the OBMP meetings always be on the third Thursday of the month?
I think not. This, if that has appeared that way, it has been coincidence than anything.
It appears that way to me because I haven't been able to go to any of them. at third Thursday, I have to go to Ridgecrest for
couple of thoughts. In-house, it takes a boatload of work to deliver one of those.
I get it.
So we try to schedule them to give ourselves enough time, and that's kind of the real driver for us is, can we deliver quality content?
I can keep relying on council here, but I just would eventually like to go to one of those, I think.
And so that brings me to my second point. If you can't make it and you don't want to rely on council, please know that we're always available to meet with you, as we have been with meeting with many stakeholders. We'd be happy to meet with you one-on-one, walk you through what happened, share with you the questions that were asked by others, the thoughts, the concerns of the group, and our thoughts of how we move forward.
Thanks.
And Bob, he buys lunch. He pays for it. ladies and gentlemen,
there's
Bob,
that too.
Bob Page, I hear rumors.
Oh, about me?
Through the pipeline about you. Oh.
You're going to go back into the newspaper work.
Please share.
We hear that you're moving on up. As one great TV series was on for a while. Does that mean you're going to attend less meetings, or you'll still be able to make as many meetings as possible?
For now, I am attending these meetings. I'm still the county's primary representative to the three pools, though I only attend this one. Not aware that I'm moving up. I am officially the registrar of voters.
That's moving on up.
Okay. Well, that's been in place since May, and I was interim before that for about a year.
There's a song about that. Better pay and higher wages, expenses paid in the car.
Are you going to forget who we are?
No.
Anything else to come before the board? Paul, thank you for being here today. We stand adjourned.